Steves.
Thank you. I feel no pressure at all. In fact, I was just sitting next to Merle and she said, man, your son is a good preacher. And I'm going, yes, he is. She goes, he's the best in the world. And I thought, man, I am feeling confident at the moment. Hey, friends, I've just got a couple of things to set up. Can we just take a minute? Let's go and say hello to someone. Please make sure you say hello to Kelly. Brother, congratulations, mate. I had the wonderful privilege of sharing some time on Monday night, listening to Kelly's heart. You've got a great heart, brother, and a really good foundation to continue your journey on, you know, sharing your faith in God. So, we'll just take a couple of minutes and then, you know, we'll get into the message. Thank you.
I'll let you know, brother.
One more minute. Thank you, friends.
Can you make sure that you don't touch these, please? Leave them. Thank you. Wonderful. Don't touch them. Don't walk on them. You can look at them when they're up here, though.
I'll make sure nobody.
Thank you. Be the guard.
Wonderful. Okay. We're getting very close. Wonderful. I have the guard here. No.
I thought we had a deal. We obviously don't.
Just want to make you feel like you're at school tonight.
Thank you, darling. That's awesome. We'll move him over here. Oh. You all right? Is this yours? I just need a mic stand for the last song, if that's all right, at the end. Can I use your mic stand at the end? Thank you, Hannah. Oh, it's all right.
I felt really bad. Is it standing or sitting?
I'll just stand.
Wonderful. Okay. Really... That's good, Leroy. Really grateful to have this opportunity tonight. And I just want to, you know, just publicly just thank Jesus. Because where's Marie? Anyway, when she was sharing, there's just something about stepping out in faith in this life. And God just seems to honor that. And I just want to say thank you for sharing. And I hope we're all certainly encouraged by that. So, please feel free to make your way back inside. So, my name's Steve Sparrow. I think I pretty much know everyone here, but just in case you don't know me, my name's Steve Sparrow Senior to some people. Even though I reckon that my boy looks older than I do, just saying. But anyway, I am impressed with the amount of Steves in this church. It's kind of cool. So my wife's name's Tarn, and she's not here tonight, but if you see her, give her good feedback. That'd be great. Tarn and I have four sons, and, you know, it's tough work being a dad and having four sons, but you know what? That's okay. So our youngest son, Josh, he's a teenager now, so, you know, that has dynamics. It just does. You know, if you're looking at just up here, you'll realize he's my fourth boy and he's a teenager. So that's kind of cool. So Josh is our youngest. So he's 13. Now, Steve-O Jr. is our oldest. So where is he? He's here somewhere. So come up, mate. So he's, what are you, 22 now? I think he is 22. No, he is. He's 22. And yeah, so I just want to honour my boy. He's the only one here tonight. So. But yeah, he's a good man. If you don't know him, get to know him. He's cool. They all are. And so Dylan is, so there's Joshy, who's the youngest, Steve-O Jr., who's senior to all of his brothers. And then just, so going from Josh, I have Dylan. So Dylan is in year 12. And, you know, so he's right into school at the moment. He quite likes school. And I don't think he got that off Tan and I, to be honest. But we are so grateful. We're like, you know, this is good. You know, he really loves his experience at school, which is cool. And but of course, he's at that age where he's now sent his logbook off. So, you know, these days you've got to do, how many hours is it? 100 hours. It was going to be 200, wasn't it? But it's 100. So he's just done that. He sent his book off and it's been approved. So I'm just warning you all. And, you know, that's an interesting time watching your children drive and being in the passenger seat. But actually, I heard a great, can I just tell like one quick joke? It'll be the only one. Don't worry, it'll be better than anyone. Any that Steve-O shared, it'll be better. Just saying. But anyway, so this, you know, the 100 hours is a big effort. It really is. And so anyway, this fella goes to his dad. Look, Dad, I've nearly done my 100 hours, and you said that when I do, that you will help me get a car. And Dad's like, you know what, son? You're right. I will help you get a car, but there's three things. There's three conditions on this. The boy's like, yeah, okay, well, what are they? And he goes, look, first, I want to see you read your Bible more. Okay? Second, I want to see your grades improve at school. And then third, he said, I want you to get a haircut. You know, I want you to get a haircut. I know, this is the way the joke goes, though. I want you to get a haircut. Anyway, gets his 100 hours done, sends his book off, gets approved, goes back to Dad. Dad, here it is. I've got the book. It's ready. You said you'd help me with the car. And Dad said, you are right. You're right. I did say I'd help you with the car. And look, I've seen you read your Bible more. That's been great. And I've seen that your grades have improved at school. And he goes, yeah, but what about your hair? You didn't cut your hair. And he goes, yeah, no, Dad, I have been reading the Bible more, and Jesus had long hair, and you know, and Moses had long hair, and even Samson had long hair. And Dad goes, yeah, I know, and they walked everywhere. I thought it was cool. So, yeah, that was a long introduction for Dylan, who's not here. But so Steve-O, who was the youngest? There's no prizes. And then, and then we have, so some of you know Jackson. So he's a great guy, Jackson. So Jacko is 21. So, you know, he's getting old. And, you know. But, of course, if you cut Jackson in half, not literally, but the name, you will get Jack. And, of course, you know, my last name is Sparrow. So Jack Sparrow. Yeah, I know. I know what you're thinking. 2003, the movie came out. Jackson was born in 1995. So just in case you're like, oh, they copied the movie. Can't you think of your own? No, no. They copied us, I reckon. So Jacko, he's a great guy. He works at Macca's. And so, you know, feel free at the lakes to drop in. Just look up towards the roof. If you see blonde hair, it'll be him. No doubt about it. Hey, I really enjoyed that video. What is it called? People Are Awesome or something? Yeah. Okay, cool. And I, you know, they're all like really cool tricks, of course, that they're doing and everything. But I was sitting there and I was thinking, we actually have our Poppy up here. He actually moved to Townsville like a week ago. And he turns 95 in a few weeks. Now, Tan on Wednesday was looking after Cooper, as she does. And they're sitting in the lounge room and they hear this splash out in the pool. And they're like, that doesn't sound like a bird. What's going on? And of course, there's our 95 nearly year old Poppy out in the pool. And we're like, man, that's awesome, but not cool. You should have someone with you at the plastic chair set up. He's getting into the pool. But anyway, and you know, I'm just thinking, you know what? I look at our Pop and I go, man, I'm inspired. I'm so inspired because at 95-ish, He's moved. He's got like dreams that he hasn't lived out yet. You know what I'm saying? And here he is going in the pool. Tan actually locked the gates and everything, so he can't access the pool without us. But the point is like, I'm just like, man, that's awesome. That is so cool. And I guess just seeing that video, I just wanted to honor Pop as well, because, you know, I think he's pretty awesome. So, yeah, cool. So I'm going to get into the message. And tonight's message is from Luke chapter 6. And I've been inspired by a group in Melbourne called the Backyard Bard. So if you're they're a theatre company, and they recite the Bible essentially. So I'm going to kind of share a lot of scripture tonight. And I think that within the context of this message, there are many messages. And so, you know, I want to encourage you to further go and read and to pray and to just be open to what God is saying, what Jesus is saying to us in this message. So in Luke chapter 6, the translation that I will be referring to tonight is the Message Bible. Have you heard of the Message Bible? So Eugene Peterson sort of put that together in language that, is it paraphrasing, I think? That kind of, yeah, contemporary language, all that sort of stuff. So so the Message Bible is the Bible that I'll be referring to tonight. And so what's happened is at the start of this chapter is Jesus has, he's gone to the synagogue and he has healed a man with a withered hand. Shortly after, through the chapter, he goes up onto a mountain all night to pray to his Father God, and the next day he picks his 12 apostles, his messengers, and I'm going to pick the story up, or the scripture up, from after that. So this is Luke chapter 6, I think it's verse 17 onwards. Okay, all right. So coming down from the mountain, he stood on a plain, surrounded by disciples, and was soon joined by a huge congregation from all over Judea and Jerusalem, even from the seaside towns of Tyre and Sidon. They'd come both to hear him and to be cured of their ailments. Those disturbed by evil spirits were healed. Everyone was trying to touch him, so much energy surging from him. So many people healed. Then he spoke, "You're blessed when you've lost it all. God's kingdom is there for the finding. You're blessed when you're ravenously hungry. Then you are ready for the messianic meal. You're blessed when the tears flow freely. Joy comes with the morning. Count yourselves blessed every time someone cuts you down or throws you out. Every time someone smears or blackens your name to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort, and that person is uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Skip like a lamb if you like, for even they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds, and know that you're in good company. My preachers and witnesses have always been treated like this. But there's trouble ahead if you think you have it made. What you have is all you'll ever get. And there's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Yourself won't satisfy for long. it's trouble ahead. If you think life's all fun and games, there's suffering to be met, and you're going to meet it. It's trouble ahead if you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them, doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. Look how many scandal preachers were approved by your ancestors. Your task is to be true, not popular. And to you who are ready for the truth, I say this. Love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer for that person. If someone slaps you in the face, stand there. Take it. If someone grabs your shirt, gift wrap your best coat. Make a present of it. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. I tell you, love your enemies, live generously. No more tit for tat stuff. Here's a simple rule of thumb for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you. Then grab the initiative and do it for them. If you only love the lovable, do you expect a pat on the back? Run-of-the-mill sinners do that. And if you only help those who help you, do you expect a medal? Garden variety sinners do that. And if you only give for what you hope to get out of it, do you think that's charity? The stingiest pawnbrokers do that. I tell you, help and give without expecting a return. You'll never, I promise, regret it. Live out this God-created identity, the way the Father lives towards us, generously and graciously. Even when we're at our worst, our Father is kind. You, be kind. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless you want the same treatment. And don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Give your life away. And you'll find life given back, but not merely given back. Given back bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. Then he quoted a proverb. Can a blind man guide a blind man? Wouldn't they both end up in the ditch? The apprentice doesn't lecture the master. The point is, be careful who you look to as your teacher. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you, when your own face is distorted with contempt? This I know better than you mentality, playing a holier than thou part instead of just living your own part. Wipe the ugly sneer off your own face. Then you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. You don't get wormy apples of a healthy tree, nor good apples of a diseased tree. The health of the apple tells the health of the tree. You must begin with your own life-giving lives. It's who you are, not what you say and do, that counts. Your true being brims over into true words. Deeds. Why are you always so polite to me, always saying, yes, sir, and that's right, sir, but never doing a thing I say? These words I speak are not mere additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They're words to build life on. Foundation words. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who dug deep and laid the foundation of his house on bedrock. When the river burst its banks and crashed against the house, nothing could shake it. It was built to last. But if you just use these words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a dumb carpenter who built a house but skipped the foundation. When the swollen river came crashing in, it collapsed like a house of cards. It was a total loss. Friends, that's Luke chapter 6. And as I was saying, there are so many messages in this message. And I've been intentional about just putting up some of the things that are written. Because I found that, and keep to finding, that within this message, there is hope. Within this message, Jesus, who loves us more than we can measure, warns us, gives us advice. And I'm also reminded that the ownership is on me. I love that sharing. What would Jesus do? What did Jesus teach us? We're all on that journey. There's stuff happening. There's things going on. Life's happening. And I'm reminded tonight that it's just real hard without, in my own strength. I'm reminded tonight of these teachings, and I want to encourage us to consider how that speaks into our hearts. And even more so than considering to act, they're fairly opposite. Very opposite. I love that just a recovery thought. There's an educator. I don't know if yous, those on program have much to do with him now, but Ernie Larson, do you know? But he said this thing, and I just went, wow. He said, recovery, he broke it down into two stages. You may have heard this. He said, stage one, admitting that there's something real wrong. I've got, this is overpowering me. I'm powerless. And stage two, which we are all on, friends, is learning to love. It's learning to love. And that is a daily journey for each. But there are things that will surely get in the way of that happening if we aren't vigilant. And I might just get a chair. And I have shared this quite a while ago, but I really want to share it again because it's powerful. And it's real, and I want to encourage us in it, because if we're not okay, it's okay not to be okay, but it is not okay to stay that way. It's not okay to stay that way. I'm going to invite Steve-O back out. And in this world, there are many opposites. Yeah, there are. You know, the opposite of tall is, yeah, and the opposite of loud, yeah. Ernie reminds us, learning to love. The opposite of love is hate. But friends, hate isn't the only opposite of love. Observe with me indifference. Sitting there, all alone, bland glare, barely a stare. Now, there's a contender. You see, love and hate are like two sides of the same coin, a cast of passion and focus, whereas indifference isn't like a coin at all. It's more like a line of bad credit that devalues everything. Love says, call me whenever. Hate says, don't call me never. Indifference says, whatever. I love you is hard to do. I hate you is hard to hear. I indifference you. That's just weird. You don't really hear that, but. But look, think about it. Indifference. It's hard to challenge. It's hard to change. When faced with a fist, it shrugs. And when faced with a kiss, its lips don't even move to say yay or nay. Friends, this is the challenge of our time. Good versus bland. Yes versus so. Hug versus shrug. In love is action, and in action is change. And I'm going to wrap this up, but please don't walk out of here without seriously contemplating how this speaks into what is happening now. Don't walk out of here if you know that you need to make an exchange. I need to exchange my resentment, Lord. I need to hand this to you. Whatever it is. In a song that we're going to sing at the end, there's a wonderful line that says, when only love will make a way. When only love will make a way. Could it be in our lives tonight that we need to surrender to love making a way, to taking a step towards whatever it may be that's stirring within me, that God could be stirring within my spirit? When only love would make a way. And Jesus made that way for all of us. He gave His life for us. And it, in a beautiful exchange. Friends, I want to encourage us to pray, read, consider, and act. I want to encourage us to not let any indifference that can so easily ease its way into any circumstance stop an area of surrender in our lives from happening. When only love would make a way. We're going to play a song that speaks that. And I say to us, let's use this time to pray to God, to pray to Jesus. Let's use this time to hand over. There is nothing weak about surrendering. The victory is there. Let's use this time.